This recording kicks off our 2012 series of interviews done with local immigrants by Sunset High School students. You will hear from Henry Wong, a local engineer who was born in China and moved to Taiwan as a young child. He moved to the U.S. in his late teens. So enjoy.
I'm Mackie, a senior at Sunset High School.
And I am Henry Wong, almost retired now.
Okay. So what did you do after college?
I used to work at Tektronix for a while. As a manufacturing engineer.
I had a science fair there once when I was little.
yeah. And then after a while, I decided to get into the business, you know, with China. Mm-hmm. And because I'm bilingual and, you know, I'm familiar with both sides of the culture, so that's what I decided to do. I feel I have a lot of advantage mm-hmm. of doing that. So mm-hmm. I've been doing that since.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you were born in China. And then went to Taiwan.
Correct. I was born in China, and then after the war, moved to Taiwan with my family. And then after college, I came to the United States. Mm. And that was 1973. Oh, wow. So it's been a while.
Wow. That's okay. So did you guys have family in Taiwan? Or was there a reason you chose Taiwan?
We still do, yes. Okay. We still do. But like I said, originally our family is from the northern part of China. So the families in Taiwan, pretty much the same kind of background. We ran away from the communist. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we went with the nationalist.
Oh,
that's what happened, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what were some of the challenges you faced when you came here, or as you were coming here?
At the very beginning, sure, it was, you know, language has always been. You know, you have a hard time to, you know, because when we first started, we did not, couldn't hardly even talk. In English.
Yeah.
It's like here, you learn foreign language by reading.
Oh, uh-huh. And by like watching TV.
That's
or,
right.
Yeah.
In those days, we didn't have that much
of TV.
Oh,
there you go.
So you learn to read, but mm-hmm. you don't learn to talk. You don't hear, you never had the opportunity to hear people say English. Mm-hmm. So we have a hard time in terms of verbal communications. It took a long time, and then gradually, you know, you just have to work on. But after a while, you get used to it, and then everything was fine. Mm-hmm. I really did not really feel that much of you may consider difficulties or anything like that. No, I never did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for
That's
some
good,
re-
though.
Yeah, it was. Yes, I was very well accepted by friends, by mm-hmm. colleagues, by you know schoolmates, things like that. And so I never feel that I've been... kept as an outside. I never had that feeling.
So yes. So you said that you came from Taiwan to the States. Did you come with your family to the States?
No,
or did they
by myself.
Stay?
Just
wow.
by myself. I was, I would consider I was naively brave.
Yeah. Wow, I would say so.
Yes, I did not know how difficult it could be, and I was a fearless. I just said,
how did your family feel about you coming here?
My mother was the one that encouraged me. Uh-huh. She said, you have this one chance only. You know, in those days, it's hard for a foreign student come to here. I was mm-hmm. the only one in my college class got accepted here. Mm-hmm. So I was the only one. And my mother said, you know, this is your own. You can always stay in Taiwan. But if you want to go to the United States and try to make something out of for yourself, you know, this is the only chance. You know, you can always come back. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. And I was fearless.
Wow.
So I came.
I could do that. So has your family ever come to visit you here? Or
After they retired, they came over. Yeah, that was not. But the thing is, for example, like the first day I came to the United States, the very, very first day, I got off the airplane, and people, I need to take a limousine. For us, we didn't understand limousine is just a shuttle type of thing. We thought it's one of those big, huge, fancy limousine. I said, how much is going to cost me to do this, you know? And I need to take a limousine to the Greyhound bus station.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, I need to take the Greyhound. I have no idea where Corvallis was.
Oh, Corvallis?
Yes, I went to Oregon State. I have no idea how far that was, and so I went out. I finally managed to get on the bus, and then this bus driver, I have no idea what he was talking about.
No.
And then I was on on the bus for all the time. I was so tired after 20 some hours flight.
Oh.
Okay? But I said, when is it going to be crowded? So I noticed a whole bunch are all students, college kids. I said, when they got ready to go, I will go.
Yeah, well, that's good, though.
But everybody fell asleep. I was the only one awake.
Oh, gosh. And you were like,
And so by the time I got there, all of a sudden, everybody stand up. I said, gotta be it.
Yeah.
So I asked the driver, I said, Corrales? He said, Corrales. That's how I got Corrales.
Wow.
That's how I got
So did asked. You, after you flew from Taiwan to the States, did you land in Oregon?
Yeah, in Portland.
Oh, in Portland, okay.
Yeah, directly to Portland. Wow. And then take the bus, to Corvallis.
How was that seeing a huge... Do you guys have huge airports in Taiwan?
Yes, but the thing is, Corvallis is so small.
Yeah.
Comparing to, where I'm from, Taipei is a, big city, capital. Mm-hmm. You got millions of people.
Wow.
And by the time I got off the bus, from at Corvallis, before I even noticed... Everybody's gone. Summertime, college town, Oregon State. There's nobody.
Yeah.
I always thought you can ask someone. Don't even people can ask.
Oh, gosh.
That's how I got to Corvallis.
So did you spend the summer in Corvallis trying to find...
The next day, the school started.
Oh, wow.
I know. I did not have no time breaking in or anything like that.
Wow.
The next day I started because, when I got to get... admission, it was late, so I just barely managed to make it.
Wow, that must have been really stressful, trying to get in your admissions and
that's
stuff.
That's right, all of those things. So that
I know
was,
how that goes.
So
what do you like most about Oregon?
About Oregon?
Mm-hmm. Or have you traveled to other places?
Yeah,
around here?
We my business-wise, I travel quite a bit. To the East Coast and things like that. But Oregon, to me, it is a very friendly, very nice place, and it's a good place to raise children.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided, instead of my family move around with me as job goes, I'd rather have the family here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I travel, okay? So that's why we stay here. We wanted the children have their my kids have their have a sense of hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than I run into some of the people where they are in high school, junior, school, mm-hmm. Because the parents' job, why professional.
Yeah, there's a lot of kids here.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They move around. They never really establish.
It's hard.
That's right. It's hard.
Without friends and stuff.
Correct.
Always
correct.
Living.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we decided. We realized this is a good place. The people are good. We like the environment.
Sunset.
That's right. The whole thing. So So all my three boys are from Sunset.
Wow.
From Sunset High School. Yeah. Yeah.
And what other places around have you been that you also liked?
I think I most like Northwest.
Northwest.
Yeah, I don't like big cities and too fast moving,
Mm-hmm.
I always say, I use a term like a mountain man, city mountain man. Some of my friends, they live in a city like Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like a mountain man. They have very few small area that they move around.
Mm.
The city is so big, but they got no place to go. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They actually live in an area that's very confined.
Mm.
There's, when the city is that big, you're basically lost.
Yeah.
It's not like over here, you got friends all over the place, It's so I never really interested, We have lots of friends in Southern California,
mm-hmm.
the San Diego area, but we just visit.
Mm, yeah, you're like, I couldn't stay there.
That's right. I wouldn't stay there.
I have family in San Diego, and I just would never be able to live there.
I know, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah.
So when you graduated OSU, what kind of degree did you get?
I got a master in industrial engineering.
Mm. Wow, so you must be pretty smart.
No.
Oh, no, never.
No, no.
So what kind of things did you do at Tektronix, or do you do?
I was in manufacturing.
Manufacturing.
Yeah, actually, the big blue warehouse,
mm-hmm.
I was Yeah, I was involved in that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Right, but off of, like, I don't know, my streets.
Milken Way and Murray.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Okay, that's where I would have my science fair. Yes,
that's right, yeah.
So, where did you meet your wife?
We actually, at Oregon State.
At Oregon State.
Because at that time, the foreign student community is very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
But we have probably no more than 15, 20 people.
Wow, that's pretty small. That's really small at Oregon State.
Exactly. Not that much. You will only have about 10, 15 people the most that we usually associate with.
Mm.
Other than that, we don't know anybody else.
Wow. But,
yeah, very confined.
So what does she do?
She's a registered dietitian.
Oh, wow.
She does specialized the kidney dialysis, you know, those kind of things.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
She worked for a dialysis unit. Used to be the Good Sam's.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then later on, independent in this area over here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's a very specialized dialysis dietitian.
That must be really interesting.
Yes, she needs to know a lot about chemistry,
mm-hmm.
Things like that. And then, so we talk about a lot of those things. Yeah. It's a fun, you know, to hear from their point of view, a professional, you know, dietitian point of view, how your body works, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's, yes.
And what are your kids doing, or what did they do?
I got three boys. Mm-hmm. They all graduated from here. And one is working as a patent lawyer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's an engineer from Harvey Mudd. Have you ever heard of Harvey?
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, that's at College of Claremont.
Oh, wow.
But he was an engineer. He was a good engineer.
Mm.
But he decided to get into law.
Oh, wow. That's a weird, two totally separate things. And then.
That's right. So he actually worked for a law firm right now as an agent, not a fully lawyer yet. He's have to go to school with them, and then he'll want to be a patent lawyer.
Wow.
And the something really interesting is that out of the iPod, those things,
mm-hmm.
He actually wrote over 100 patents for Apple.
Wow. Can you believe that?
Yeah, he loves it.
Wow.
So he's doing very well.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's doing very well.
Sounds like a very smart guy.
Yeah, yeah. And my second son, Scotty, you know, your teacher, all know him. He used to play soccer over here.
Oh.
He went to MIT.
Oh.
And then now he works for Nike.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the marketing, you know, in the soccer field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my little one, Justin, he's, like I said, graduated from here 4 years, college 4 years ago.
Wow.
So he went to UW as a WE also, you know, engineer, like my oldest one, you know, like Mark.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So Justin is WE, and he works for a specialized automation tool company.
Wow.
Making special tools. For automate, you know, you see on the automotive, you know, Toyota, you know,
uh-huh.
They're making those robot holder tools making cars, you know, things like that.
My mom works for Toyota.
That's right. he worked for a company designing tools for that type of thing, automated power.
Wow, that's really cool. Yeah. So they're all very successful, I see.
Yeah. I have nothing to complain. They are doing very good.
Oh, good.
They got the good thing is they have all the friends, you know, still
uh-huh.
here. They used to play soccer for the day. Both the Scotty and Jesse used to play soccer for the school
team. Oh, for Sunset?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Sunset. At one time, they were one of the very few, both of them at the same time. They're only 2 years apart. Both
wow.
On the team. And
I'm surprised they didn't fight a lot.
They played with a whole bunch of friends, and then they after college time everybody left, you know, go to college, and now they all come back, And then they still form a team. They still play indoor soccer right here.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
Maybe I've seen them because I always see groups, you know, just sort of people playing soccer. And I'm like, huh, that's cool.
Yeah, they've been playing together for a long time.
Wow, that's good that they get together. Along, though.
Exactly.
My sister and I fight too much.
That's
So when you, are you happy now that you look back that you ended up coming and taking your mom's advice and coming to the States?
I feel I'm a very, very lucky person that I had this opportunity, you know, to come to the States.
Because if you had stayed there, what would you have been?
I have no idea what happened. But the thing is, but don't get me wrong, though, not everybody the same.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's different. Some of the people, you know, they enjoy differences, enjoy diversities, you know, things like that. I'm that type of person. Therefore, you know, for the United States, to me, it's very enjoyable. I like to see different people. I like to talk to different people, try different food, see different clothes, you know, different culture, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because United States, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know some of the people, they're just the opposite. They cannot enjoy differences. They do not enjoy diversity. And so they have to have a certain way. They only listen to this kind of music. They only read this kind of book.
Mm.
So to them, United States is too big, too diverse.
Oh, so they're like,
they lost. See, I've seen both.
Mm.
So it's, I think, I guess that's an individual thing.
Yeah.
Some of the people, you know, enjoy this multicultural environment. I enjoy it tremendously. And yet, I know some of the people just are frustrated. After they finish school, the first thing they want to do is go back to China.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they just, the food that they don't like, you know, to them, cheese, steak, that's not Chinese food. They can't stand it. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, but to me, I love it.
Yeah.
So it's a different, that's an individual thing. Mm-hmm. Some of the people, they have very fixed, life or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's don't get me wrong, it's not everybody enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that, a lot of people don't. And I run into quite a few of them.
Did you have siblings when you were at the time moving?
Yes, I have a sister and a brother. My brother passed away already. Mm-hmm. My sister still lives in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the same way as I. I think it has something to do with our family. You know, my mother encouraged us to enjoy, not only just to tolerate, you enjoy the differences, you know.
So when you came over, I know you came by yourself, but did you want to bring your siblings with you, or?
No, they came by themselves.
Oh, by themselves.
My sister came, you know, she came by herself too.
Mm.
She's 5 years younger than me.
Wow.
After she, the same thing, after college, you know, she decided to give it a try, and then so she came over here. He went to University of New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's on the East Coast. Yeah.
So when you came over, like, what was the process that you had to go through in order to become a U.S. citizen?
Because
I know it was probably, maybe was different back then than now it is now.
Very different.
Yeah.
Very difficult. We were just by pure luck.
Wow.
By pure luck. You know, we were helping someone to interview for immigration, and then we asked a director. I said, do we have a chance? He asked us about our background. He said, sure. So we applied. That was it.
Wow.
At the time, it was getting very, very difficult. Nobody believed that we did not spend any money, didn't go through a lawyer or anything like that, just fill a form. That was it.
So how young were you when you moved from North China to South China, and from South China.
Our family moved over to China when I was 2 years old.
Wow.
So I don't know anything about China in those days when I grew up. It is after I came here, finished school, started working, and then after a while I decided, you know, I wanted to get involved into the international business with China, you know. So that's the first time I actually went back.
Mm.
And I remember the first time I went back, that was in the early 80s.
Mm, mm-hmm.
China just opened up.
Yeah.
Just opened up. And they're not used to people coming from outside. Mm-hmm. The country's just right after the Cultural Revolution. And I told my mother, I'm heading back to China, and also to the town, the city that I was born.
Wow.
And then, so she told me the hospital where I was born, the name, everything. So I went back, and the people hosted me over there said, that hospital, that it's next to a park. The park, the city park, you know, they said the name of the city park didn't change after communists took over. But next to it, there is a, yes, there is a hospital, you know, for, you know. I went over there, and I took a picture of the front door, you know, the gate of the little place. I took it back and showed it to my mother. She said, after 40 years, hasn't been changed at all.
Wow.
That was right after the opening up from the Cultural Revolution. You know, China just opened up. But now it's completely changed. Yeah. In the last 30 years, it's completely changed. But the year I visited was in, I would say, 1981.
Wow. So then after you went and visited China, did you go to Taiwan and see your family?
Yeah. I try to go over there in that area, you know, I go back and forth. Sometimes I fly into Taiwan and then go to China. Sometimes I go to China on the way back to Taiwan. Yeah. So I go to both.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So how come China's changed so much since?
China is old civilization. Communists only came in for a short time because, you know, after China suffered quite a bit because the drug problem, the opium problems, you know, all of the, and then afterwards the warlord, the revolutions, the, you know, and then the World War II. So the whole country went bankrupt. Just a completely collapsed. That's why the communists, you know, took it over, and they closed door, iron curtain, so they can stabilize everything. And but Chinese is Chinese. Chinese is not necessarily communist. So after they have the opening up, gave them the opportunity, and people are striving.
So how is China's government set up? Is it, I mean, like what kind of...
Strictly single party. One party, communist, they dominate everything. Party is above the government.
Wow.
It's the party chief that controls everything. It's not the president.
So there's still kind of a communist government then?
Oh, absolutely. It's only.
Wow. Totally. And I'm surprised they're opening up to things. And
because the people will not tolerate that anymore. There's no Chairman Mao anymore. Chairman Mao has his personal charisma, whatever you want to call it, you know, and people follow him. But at that time, you know, that's not totally true because at that time, like I said, China was totally broke. So when somebody came up says, I'll take care of you, at least I feed you. At least you won't go hungry. So people followed him. Okay, but afterwards he realized he needs to have that control, or otherwise the country will fall apart. So that's why Iron Curtain for 40 years closed and everything. But now you don't have German money anymore. So people want to have their own freedom, want to have their own ability to pursue their own happiness. So all of a sudden, you know, opening up and gradually, you know.
Do you think that this might be the case, I know this is kind of off topic, but like, do you think it's kind of the case with North Korea as well? Like, do you think they might someday open up?
Eventually.
Because they'll have to, right? They
exactly. Can't. With the communications and everything. I think it's the knowledge. As long as it, with the internet, with communications, the telephones, you know, all of those things, they're not going to go back. You know, right now, even right now, they are having North Korea, they have what? 250 of those hard labor camps hold thousands of thousands of people, you know, but that's not going to last long. Eventually, you know, people will say, hey, why are we living in this kind of environment?
So it they don't know better.
Exactly. They don't know better. Yes, exactly. I think that's the communications, the those things will make a difference.
Because you also kind of see, like, on the news how, like, and the news isn't always right, but like how China's kind of controlling what the people see now in regards to, like, I know I saw Facebook and like online things.
Yes.
So in regards to that, do you think that will ever change? Or
it will.
It will.
Recently, there's some really major political thing going on in China. They cut off all the emails in terms of attachment of the email. You know, when you're at like a Gmail or whatever, you attach something to it, just cut it off.
Oh, wow.
And then people are very mad at it. You know, people start talking, says you can't do this. So they're opening up again. I think the communication is the key thing. Eventually we'll open up all these things.
Does China kind of do that with all types of communication? Or is it mainly just internet? Or is it like mail, like if you send something to China, do they...
Right now, everybody using internet is so much, 100 times more powerful.
Oh, definitely.
Than regular. See, the thing is, got onto the internet, it just spread all over the place. So they are controlling internet.
Mm.
Yes. Like a Google, they hate Google.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they hate Google. The Google is... because I think Google at one time was saying, you cannot censor, you know, all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
The government says, no, we're China. Why can't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they have some kind of decision. They did not completely shut down the Google communications or whatever, but it's the second level, the attachment level.
Uh-huh.
You know, usually when you have a Gmail, you have a mail, Gmail, you know, you have attachment file. Whenever there's an attachment file, go through.
Wow.
Only, you know, the first level. So they do that. They do that. I just got back about 3 weeks ago. And it was, like I said, a major political thing going on right now. And one of the, during that time, I couldn't get anything.
Wow.
Yeah. It is happening. But that's going to change. Just think about 10 years ago, there was no email.
Oh, yeah. No TV.
That's right. True. You are right.
Yeah.
In those days, you know, when I first started, the TV is nothing but government propaganda.
Wow.
You watch everything you can, all the shows or whatever, you know, the miniseries or whatever, you can almost fit in some kind of formula. It is these people did this and the government helped them, created their lives, you know, the whole thing. Every one of them is the same.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not like here. It's completely different.
So what kind of things do you do for your job or that you would do for between China and the U.S.?
I'm an engineer.
So you would...
So I solve a lot of engineering type of problems.
So you would go there and solve things?
Right now, I have to go there on a regular basis.
Oh, wow.
But on a daily basis, I just depend on email, depend on drawings, you know. The email is so powerful right now. You know, all the drawings, that's what I was saying, the attachment, we got into a problem because all the drawings got all cut off. I cannot send drawings over there.
So how do you send the drawings then?
That's only in the last three or four because recently, things going on. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they're going to open up again. We did not have that problem for a while. But from several years, you know, been great. But recently, because this is one of the major things happening in China right now, politically, so they want to stop all the rumors, you know, all the people's, so they're completely cut off. You can't even read any of the news. On the news, nothing about this. But there was a serious, you know, the very, very top, there's some shakeups there.
So probably a last question is, like, what are the most important lessons that you have learned while being here?
I would say just enjoy this multicultural society, because the United States, for me...
And like people who grew up here, we don't really...
You don't really...
I think we kind of take it for granted because
exactly,
we don't really...
Exactly.
We're kind of just used to it, but when people come here, they're like, oh my gosh, diversity, and we're like,
I know. Yeah. Over here, you know, a lot of people don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you get into some of those areas or some of the people, the way that they're thinking is, if you are not like me, you're no good. You know, when you get into that kind of thing, it is very difficult. Sometimes can be very bad. The thing is, the beauty of this society is that everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
Why does everybody have to be the same? See what I'm saying?
It's better when they're not the same.
Exactly. And then just enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? And then not only, we're talking about tolerate, you know, tolerance or whatever, you know, different culture or whatever, da, da. I want to push it the further. You need to enjoy that. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just tolerate, let's say, Japanese culture.
Yeah, and acknowledging that it's there.
Exactly, yeah. But I really think everybody should learn, try to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Every culture have good parts, have bad parts, or whatever. And
awesome. That's actually really good advice. Because I think our culture kind of like builds off of all the other cultures. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, because we have such a diverse group.
Exactly.
Pretty much our culture is what
exactly.
It is because of
yeah.
all the new
yeah.
people who came
exactly.
and brought ideas.
Yeah, it's a brand new. It is a brand new culture. Everything is just wonderful.
Well, thank you for the lovely interview.
Okay, I enjoyed.
I really enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, it's a fun.